Pastor Jeff Johnson on the way back to a right relationship with God.
If you feel far from God, guess who moved? You moved. You decided to not do this and not do that. He's always been there. You just needed to call upon him, and he will hear you and answer your prayer. But you have to do it with all of your heart. You have to be desperate for him, because he won't take anything less. Why? Because he wants your complete trust. What does he have? God has everything, right? God's God. He owns it all. But he doesn't have your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your love.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
So how's your relationship with the Lord going? If asked to describe where you're at here at the beginning of 2021, would you say it feels a bit far off or distant? Maybe even strained? Today on Sound Doctrine, we'll show you how a distant relationship can be brought close through a study of the Song of Solomon. Remember, we're looking at this book as an allegory of Christ's relationship with his church. In chapter 5 of Song of Solomon, here's Pastor Jeff.
We've been talking about a distant relationship brought close. And if there was ever a need for this message to go out, it's now, it's today. This is part two of the series that we've been talking about. We've been looking at a relationship with the Lord. Paul said in Ephesians, a very interesting statement in Ephesians 2, at one time he said we were dead to God. And then he said, we walked according to the course of this world, the children of disobedience and the children of wrath. Do you remember those days when you were one of those children of disobedience and a child of wrath? But God's love, he says there in Ephesians 2, God's love through Christ has made us alive to God. In other words, he quickened our dead spirit, and now we are alive to the Lord. And in 1 John, and you might want to jot these down in your notes, 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have this fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It's an incredible walk that we have. I was going back to the Old Testament, thinking about those times with Enoch, and Enoch was a beautiful type of the rapture of the church. And it says about Enoch, he walked with God, and God took him home to heaven. That's good news for us. If you just walk with God, he's going to take you home to heaven. And that's an awesome hope that we have through Christ's resurrection. That he said, don't be troubled, don't fear. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. So that's a blessing. Our fellowship, our relationship is with the Father and his Son. That's what makes it so sweet and so awesome. Over in John 14, verse 23, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. So if you love the Lord, you will keep his words, and the Father will love you. And then it says this, Jesus is speaking, we, the Father and the Son, will come unto him and make our home with him. He's going to set up shop in this heart. Once it was dark, once it was full of sin, and then he took his spirit and lives within me now. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I mean, it's an amazing relationship. At times, this relationship can be distant. At times, we can feel afar off. You remember the prodigal son. What a story. Luke 15. He got bored in the Lord, didn't he? Just hanging around dad and all the good things that dad had. The ranch was huge. Everything was great. Cattle, everything. The goats, they had everything. Everything, he had it made, but he didn't like it. He said, Dad, I want my inheritance now. I'm leaving this place. I'm out of here. Oh, okay, son. He just gave it to him. And what happened? Well, father does know best, and I'm sure he warned him, but he lost everything. Blew it. I don't know how long it took. Probably not too long, but he blew everything, that all of his inheritance, and he thought, man, I'm done. But then he came to his senses. This is what the prodigal is all about. Praying for your prodigal, praying that they'll come around and they'll sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit that they need to come home, that it's not going to be right until they get home. And when they get home, everything's going to be right. So if you're a prodigal here this morning, please come home. Don't keep hanging out there. Don't just keep the torture going. Come to your senses. I mean, there's no satisfaction out there that's going to do anything for you. It's right in the Lord and in Him alone. What a lesson. And so he was restored. He was brought close again. And what a time of rejoicing. My son was lost. Now he's found. He was dead, but now he is alive. And then there's that scripture in Revelation 2. We've talked about it a lot, about falling away from your first love. And it's interesting. You look at those two verses there in Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5, and you see there's the remembering, you know, just the remembering of how it was. And then the repentance, there's three R's there, and then return to your first love. So remember, repent, and return. So simple, but sometimes so hard. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4 says, I, the Lord, will heal their backsliding. Backsliding is something we just slowly, slowly get away, and we don't see it. It's like you're boiling a frog in the water, and the heat's on, and the frog's going, wow, this is pretty cool. This is like a spa, man. He's kicking back, and it's perfect degrees. But then it gets hotter and hotter, and all of a sudden, boom, he's dead. I mean, backsliding is dangerous. He'll heal that backsliding. So a distant relationship can be brought close. That's what we've been discussing last week and this week. Joel has a great scripture. It's a prophecy, really. And in that minor prophet Joel, in chapter 2, verse 25, he says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and you shall eat the plenty and be satisfied. God promises to bring restoration if you will only come and repent. If you will only come and humble yourself before the Lord, and He'll lift you up. He wants you to make it. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be strong in Him. And He doesn't want you floundering around out there and saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, how's that doing for you? I'm just going through another trial, man. It's just one thing after another, you know. Well, you need victory. You can't be there. That's not a good witness. People listen to you and they go, I want to get away from that guy, man. He's on a bummer all the time. So we need to be careful. Jesus said, I will give you everything that you need, the victory that you need. I want to be close with you. I want to be intimate with you. I want you to come to me, and I will give you rest for your soul. And man, if there was ever a time souls need rest, it's today. So I believe that the second greatest work of God is restoration, bringing that which was afar off, distant, back again. I'm back home again. I say this to those that say, you know, I didn't walk with the Lord for a long time, and I kind of backslid, and I went out in the world again. But I want you to know that I've come back, and I go, welcome home, man, because that's what you're saying. I want to be home. home with him, peace in my heart, joy from him, because I quit trying to do it myself. It's not about me, you know, being strong enough. You're not. Let go. Just humble yourself before him. Yes, resist Satan, but humble yourself before the Lord, and he will draw near to you if you begin to draw near to him. And that's why we're here this morning. If you feel that distance, let's do away with it. Now, that's the second greatest work. The first greatest work of the Lord is, of course, salvation. And that's the best, when you get saved and it starts. The journey begins. And then there's all kinds of warfare. And then you realize, wow, this is really real. This battle spiritually, my spirit, you know, battles my flesh. I mean, I'm my worst enemy, let alone the world's out there going, hey, buy me, do this, do that, you know. Everybody seems to be pulling on me. And then there's the love of money and this and that, and you get all tangled up. But remember, the Lord says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. That's a word from the Lord to many of you this morning, to come home. Well, we left off in verse 6 of our text. So chapter 5, verse 6. Remember, she opened to her beloved. Now, going back a few verses, we remember she was lazy. She was selfish. He was knocking on the door. He's knocking on all our doors every day. God's always knocking on the door. And as Christians, that word where it says, I'm knocking on your heart's door. If you will open it, I will come into you, and I will sup with you and you with me. Let's eat together. Let's be intimate. That's the Lord's call. And that knock continues. But will you open it? Will you do it? Will you be available? Will you reach out? Will you start doing spiritually what you know is going to make you strong as a Christian? It's all up to us. He's not going to bend our arm and force us. He's just going to say, come unto me, and I'll do the rest. So she wouldn't open the door. She just laid there. And that's in verse 3. She just started griping. But verse 6 says, she finally said, I better open the door. He's knocking. I'm hearing it. But she waited too long. And this is kind of like a nightmare. But it's a dream. As you'll see in verse 6, he says, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. And when I finally opened the door, hey, he's gone. My soul failed when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. I mean, what a frustrating place to be in. I mean, it's almost like, wow, what's going on? But yet, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? You moved. You decided to not do this and not do that. He's always been there. You just needed to call upon him, and he will hear you and answer your prayer. But you have to do it with all of your heart. You have to be desperate for him, because he won't take anything less. Why? Because he wants your complete trust. What does he have? God has everything, right? God's God. He owns it all. But he doesn't have your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your love. Because he loved you so much, he gave his son. What more could he do than what he has done? So he just is saying, now, will you respond to my love and what I gave in my son? And if you do that, then you're turning it over. And wow, then it comes, that relationship begins to build. So I love this. I believe that she was quenching the spirit. There is a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, quench not the spirit. So you can quench God's spirit. And it says that you can even grieve the spirit of God. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, don't grieve the Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and anger and all those things be put off from your life. Give it to the Lord and seek the Lord. And then begin to love one another and forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you and you and you and you. I mean, look at how much he forgave us. And so he wants us to walk, not just talk about it, I'm saved, you know. But no, show me by your walk and that what you're doing and how you're loving and who you're living for. I love it as Jeremiah, he says it so plainly in Jeremiah chapter 29. He says in verse 12, then you're going to call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken unto you when you turn your heart towards him. And you shall seek me and you will find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. You see, without faith, without never seen him, but you're willing to do what he says will bring you into a spiritual victory. Receive his son. He died for your sins. Ask him to come into your heart and change your life from within. He does it from the heart. But there's that scripture that says, he that comes to God must first believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of them that what? Diligently seeks him. So he's dealing with the heart. Why? Because it's the heart that's in trouble. Our hearts are sick, full of sin. But if we turn our hearts towards him, he promises to show himself strong to us. So, verse 7, as we continue, it says, all of a sudden, the dream is ended, if you want to call it a dream. Verse 7 is the watchman. And if you remember, we already talked about the watchman that went about the city, they found me. So she was out in the city streets at night looking for her beloved, not finding him, just going crazy, running through the streets. Very dangerous for her to be doing. Very dangerous for any of us to do. Just to go on feelings and just run about here and there. No, we need to wait upon the Lord, renew our strength. We need to sit down and pray about it. We need to get our act together with him and get everything lined up. But she didn't do that. She went out looking for him. She didn't find him. The watchman, it says, smote me, wounded me, and the keepers of the walls took away my veil. I mean, it's almost like, whoa, they beat her up. They're supposed to be the policemen of the city. And some would say, well, how about this? How about if it's a pastor? You mean a watchman could be a pastor? Yeah, not a good pastor, a false comforter. You might have been under one of those. You might have been hurt by a pastor. It's just something that happens. You might have been hurt by a church and beat up. And then you just don't know. I mean, you find yourself maybe here this morning and you swore, you know, you'd never get into another church again, but here you are. And there's a reason for that. God's got you here to talk with you for a little bit and encourage you. If you've been beat up by the world and even by some pastor, you know, Jesus never said, he said, feed my sheep. He didn't say, beat my sheep. But there's a lot of pastors today that are in churches that are just constantly beating the sheep. We don't need to be beat. We're beat enough. In the world, the flesh and the devil, man, that's enough, right? And yet, to get it from the pastor, no. I need encouragement. I need to get my eyes on the Lord. But notice, they even took her shawl. It's almost like Joseph, you know, that got trapped by Potiphar's wife, and she wanted to, you know, she wanted him to just be with her. And she tried to rape him. And he got out of the place. He took off, but she grabbed his shirt and ripped it off him. So he ran naked out of there. He knew what to do. Just run. But this is kind of a reverse in that this is, she's saying, they took my veil. They took my testimony. I had the veil because that veil protects me and protects those who are around me because the eyes don't meet. And I am set aside for my beloved and nobody else. So that was taken from her. So she's messed up here. Now look at verse 8. It says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem. So the dream is kind of over. If you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. And it sounds kind of sick, right? That's interesting how it's mentioned there. She's desperate. She's lost her beloved. She is love sick, or she's weak because of her love for her beloved and can't find him. I need his presence. She's crying out. I want to be close with him. I don't like this distance. I want to be intimate with him. I want to know him intimately. I want to walk with him as he is my best friend, my savior, my hero. I want to get close, and I feel far. I feel a distance. And so there's where her weakness comes in. And I believe that we just need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to ask him to fill us new and fresh. If you've been backslidden and gone through stuff, you just need to come back, bow your heart before the Lord, and ask him to refill you with his Spirit and forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You picked up stuff from the world. Just take it off, Lord. Cleanse me from inside. Make me your child. I want to be obedient to you, and I want to love you and follow you. So she's longing for his presence. And when we humble ourselves, he says, over in James, James says it so well. This is in James in chapter 4, in verse 6. He says, he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud. So if you got pride this morning, if you're proud of your stand, where whatever it might be on, he resists you. I mean, he won't receive you. God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor is grace. You're never going to earn it. You're never going to be able to make it, you know, by yourself. He just gives it to you, to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. What a promise. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. I mean, he just goes on. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Forget the macho man. Forget, I'm in charge here. You know, no, you're not. He's in charge, and he loves you, and he's drawing you here for a purpose, and that is to get you to not feel distant, but close, for you to have a strong walk with the Lord that walks not by feeling, but by faith. That's so important, isn't it?
Well, it most certainly is. And with that, we'll draw today's Sound Doctrine to a close. Pastor Jeff Johnson has been in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. This is part 2 of a mini-series called A Distant Relationship Brought Close. Would you like to hear today's message again? You know, it couldn't be easier. When you visit sounddoctrineradio.org or purchase the CD by calling 800-353-7553. That's 800-353-7553. You know, each day we like to recommend a resource that contains Sound Doctrine, and it'll help you greatly in your relationship with the Lord. Well, today we'd like to tell you about The Attributes of God by Rose Publishing. Maybe you've wondered, who is God? Do you think of him as some old confused grandfather sitting in the clouds? Maybe he's a loving father, righteous judge, and merciful king. What we believe about God really makes a difference in how we worship, behave, and actually live out our lives in his grace. This pamphlet underscores 25 key traits of God. It comes with both explanation and application, and it's just $6. So maybe request one or two extra to give away. We can take your request at 800-353-7553. Or just go online to sounddoctrineradio.org. Anything given above that amount will help us continue the ministry on this station, and it provides Sound Doctrine to listeners all across the world. Thank you for standing with us at the beginning of a new year. Again, go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. We want to hear what God is up to in your life, how He is using sound doctrine in your life. It's very encouraging, and it's an opportunity to thank the Lord for what He's doing. Would you reach out to us and let us know? You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And then come back tomorrow when Pastor Jeff will return to our series in the Song of Solomon. That's right here on Sound Doctrine, the daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,